So you guys get a treat. I thought about bringing this up last week, but I decided to hold on to it until this week. And the treat is this. When I first started preaching here, the very first several weeks, I basically, whatever I preached in the morning, I preached here in the evening. And then somebody who will remain Nicky-less approached me and said that that's not how she wanted it. So then I started recycling. Things that I had previously preached in the morning, I shared with you. I tweaked them a little bit, refurbished them a little. But yeah, they were things I had spoken before, with some exception. There, you've gotten some original material when we went through Nehemiah and a few other things. But I've never recycled anything I've spoken here in the morning until now. You are my guinea pigs with this new series. This is a new series I'm starting to go through. And in a couple of weeks, when I finish off with the book of Matthew in the morning, I'll start doing these over there. So you guys get to be my guinea pigs. I'm going to start off telling you a little bit what I'm doing, but to get us going, I'm going to tell you a little bit about inspiration. Sometimes if someone's going to create something or write something or art something or do anything, sometimes they get a spark of inspiration. And I want to tell you about this one spark of inspiration. And it came many years ago. Someone was thinking of a way to tell a story. And they had this thought in their head, what happens in a room from the moment someone fires a gun, from the moment the bullet leaves the gun to the moment it impacts whatever it's going to hit, whether it's a person or a target or whatever. So that actually happens pretty fast. You pull the trigger, boom, it's happened. But what if you could slow that moment down? And what if you could observe everything around? What if you could touch the person shooting the gun and look at them really in-depthly? What if you could watch the bullet very slowly travel across the room? What if you could watch the change in the victim's face as they see the bullet approaching and it hits them and impacts them? What happens in the room? What happens in the surroundings? And in the midst of this inspiration, the person wrote down several pages of text, all describing a split second in history. Then that person wrote many, many, many more chapters, and it's a book called The Freshman 15, and I wrote it. I self-published it. It's on Amazon. Depending on if you look at the book sales, it's not very well liked, but I like it. So, but yeah, it all came from just this moment of inspiration and a question I was asking about what happens in a room in the split second that it takes a bullet to travel across it. So inspiration is our key word today, actually, as we go through the first of many 3:16s. And I want to tell you something about these 3:16s. You obviously know the most popular one. If I say, what's the most popular 3:16 in the Bible? John 3:16. Very good. Well, actually, out of 66 books in the Bible, there are 49 3:16s. There's several books of the Bible that are shorter than three chapters, and sometimes the third chapter only goes up to maybe verse 13, 14, or 15, doesn't quite have a 16th verse. And many years ago, probably well before I was even preaching Matthew, I had this idea that what would it be like to preach through the 3:16s? And I just kind of back-shelved it for a very, very, very long time. And I kind of dusted off that idea again and kind of went through the 49 and read through many of them. And I was like, okay, I've kind of picked my starting point, and it's not John 3:16. But here's the big question. Why am I going through them? Well, one of the reasons, I can't say it's the biggest reason, but you've got a new pastor coming. And this series doesn't have a very definite middle. It has a beginning and it has an end, but I could have 47 books in between the beginning and the end, or I could have three. So it's very easy to begin and end. So whenever Pastor Solomon is able to start, I can finish very easily. So that was one of the reasons. It's also something I've wanted to do for some time, because as I've read through the 316s, I have found that there's a lot of things that we can learn just from these one verses in many of these texts. And because of that, I poured through these 49 over the past week or so, and I picked out the one I wanted to start with. And it actually comes from this passage in 2 Timothy. And the very important thing about any and all scripture, and while we're focusing on 316s, we won't just read one Bible verse. There's context within the Bible, so we must read the context. So we're going to read the whole passage, but our focus is going to be on verse 316. So from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 16, it says, Paul's speaking, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." That is through verse 17. So that completes the sentence. So the big question here is today, all scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out, we might use the word inspired. I'm not a big fan of the word inspired, because that doesn't really relate to me with breathed out. Expired, but expired also sounds kind of funky. So breathed out is probably the best. God breathed out. He didn't expire. God breathed out all scripture. So what does this passage do for followers of Jesus? Well, that's a good question. Just the first two words of this 316, all scripture. All scripture is good for us. Every word of scripture, it says, is breathed out by God. It is beneficial, profitable, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Every word of God is good for us. Even, and I'm going to share a couple 316s with you just because you may hear me preach on them later and you may not. But 1 Chronicles 3:16, the descendants of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, his son, Zedekiah, his son. Seems like a pretty bland 316 in the midst of a very long chronicle of names. But it is part of all scripture. It is beneficial. Here's kind of a sentence fragment one. Romans 3:16. In their paths are ruins and misery. In whose path? Well, I guess we'll find out if we get there. But some of them are a lot easier to understand. James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. I think anyone in here could write a sermon on that. And then, of course, the one we all know very well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, two of these seem a little fragmented or maybe even useless, two of them do seem very vibrant and full. But I will say that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And that's what we'll explore a little today. So now, no matter what we read in Scripture, if you're reading something and you're like, oh, this is a little bland today, keep 3:16 in mind. 2 Timothy 3:16 in mind. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is beneficial. So the big question here, another big question here, what does Paul mean by all Scripture? Well, when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, most of the rest of the New Testament hadn't been written yet. Most of his letters had been. Some, one or two of the Gospels, but not all of the Gospels. Revelation hadn't even, John wasn't even in the position to write Revelation at that point. So the New Testament wasn't around at all. There were letters floating around from Peter and Paul and several other people. But what Paul was referring to when he's saying all Scripture is breathed out by God, he was talking about the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, the starting with Genesis, ending with Malachi. So he was basically saying, he says, know your Scripture. He says, whether you're a Jewish believer, and the Jewish believers would definitely know the Old Testament. They would have spent most of, especially the males, they would have spent most of their childhood reading, studying, memorizing it. The girls, too, would have their lessons. Gentile believers, he's saying, get yourself a copy of the Scriptures and learn it. Be intimate with it because it's beneficial to you. The history, the story of God's love letter to us, it's pointing to Jesus. So that's what Paul's intention here is when he says all Scripture. But there's another gentleman out there that wanted to expand a little bit what that all Scripture meant. And it was a guy named Peter. And we all know Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He wrote a few letters in the New Testament. But he actually met Paul on a couple of occasions. And he and Paul didn't always get along. In fact, there was one time Peter and Paul were together. And Paul, in a large group of people, was like, Peter's doing the wrong thing, and I need to let Peter and everyone know so that people don't copy him. So here's the guy who was killing Christians, rebuking and correcting the guy who walked with Jesus for 3 years. So they didn't always get along, but this is what Peter has to say about Paul. And it's another 3:16. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16 says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Who gave him the wisdom? God did. As he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist in to their own destruction, as they do the other Scriptures. So that word other is kind of key here. Peter is saying what Paul is writing is equal to Scripture, because he's saying people are twisting it like they do other Scriptures. So he's saying what Paul is writing is inspired by God, breathed out. He is agreeing with Paul's statement that all Scripture is breathed out. And he's saying what Paul is writing down was breathed out by God. So while they didn't always get along, they're kind of like actual brothers, but they're just spiritual brothers. Brothers don't always get along. But Peter agrees on one thing, is that what Paul was saying is Scripture. And it's interesting to say, because I had a buddy once many years ago, and we were talking about the Bible, and he had a church he went to, and he even played worship at that church. He says, the only thing I don't like about the Bible is what Paul wrote. And I was like, well, that's a huge chunk of the New Testament. He's like, yeah, I don't really like reading what Paul has to say, because I disagree with most of it. He says, and he said that he did not consider what Paul wrote scripture. And I wish I had 2 Peter 3:16 in my mind, because I would have said, well, do you consider Peter scripture? And he probably would have said, yeah, because he really liked Peter. He liked everything Peter had to say. He just didn't like anything Paul had to say. I was like, well, Peter said Paul was awesome, so. So scripture has a lot to teach us. And some of these 3:16s that we'll hit here in the future won't seem like much. If you were to go through your Bible tonight and look at all 49 of them, you're going to be like, well, what in the world can we learn from that? I have the same question. That's okay. This one does have a lot to teach us, as does all of Scripture. And here's some clues as to make this work. I said this at the beginning. We're not just going to be reading every just 3:16 all by itself, because we would have been cut off. That's only half a sentence. But in the whole, you need verse 17 to finish out the thought. All scripture is breathed out by God, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Knowing our scripture helps us to do good. So we also need to read the context of what we're looking at. So yeah, the 3:16s point us to something really great. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us about what's going on in Paul's life. And then he reaffirms everything by saying that you need to know your scripture. And Paul would argue that you need to know the context of your scripture. Never just read a single Bible verse, even though this whole series is all about single Bible verses. Read the context. Know the passage where it's coming from. Because many of these 3:16s make no sense if you read them by themselves. But if you read the context around them, the paragraph or the passage or the chapter or the whole book. And just like Peter says, verses can be misinterpreted if read outside of context. So make sure that when you read scripture, you're not just opening up and reading a single verse. Sometimes that can be beneficial, especially if you're looking in the Psalms or Proverbs. But also to know what's around them is beneficial and good for correction and training in righteousness. Also, let scripture interpret scripture. We looked at this passage today where Paul says all scripture is breathed out by God. And we asked the question, well, what scripture is he talking about? Historically, we know when he wrote these words, he was talking about the Old Testament. But when we look at 2 Peter, Peter is saying, whatever Paul wrote is scripture. So we can affirm that this passage is scripture, and it's talking about itself, and it's affirming itself. And the last thing I want to say about this scripture is no matter what we read in scripture, whether it's a long genealogy or something that just doesn't seem to fit with us right now today, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So no matter what we read in scripture, it will not return empty. What God says has a purpose. And whether it's Chronicles or Genesis or Habakkuk or Romans or 2 Timothy, when we read scripture, it has a purpose and it will never return void. Tomorrow starts another day of the Bible recap. If you didn't join Steve in it this last year, I highly encourage it. We joined up in October for the New Testament. We're finishing the New Testament tonight. And I just highly encourage, because God's word never returns void. So remember 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And because we're going to be focusing on God's word so much in this series, I've got a new song for you for closing. I don't think I'll play this song every single week, but at least for the next couple, so we learn it. But it's a song by the group Mercy Me, and it's about the word of God. So I'm going to share that with you tonight. Please stand and join us singing.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you will say.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring the authors of your word. Thank you for inspiring them, breathing out your word to them, for all that we can learn from it. And as we learn from these 3:16s in the coming weeks, I pray, Lord, for our hearts to be open to your word, and to be open to growing and learning. For those of us joining again in the Bible recap, I pray again that we grow and learn and become more and more in love with you and a follower of you. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we usually, my family does a, what we call the Prantner's New Year's Rocking Eve. So that's starting right now. I think there's pizza being cooked. There's snacks. Grab a game.
And we've been doing
something. We've been doing it for a while. So please join us.
Like almost an hour.
Well, people think it was maybe around. I don't know. I've been on Facebook trying to find like when the first one was, right? But
Whoa, here's a...
Yeah. We used to go to a church that had a meat knife.